Good morning, church. How's everybody? Excellent. Want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are worshiping with us. Are you ready to worship? You know, I shared this at the end of my message in the early service because the Lord laid it on my heart during worship, but I want to share it with you now. How many of you know John Newton? Know the name John Newton? John Newton was the man who wrote probably the most famous hymn of all time, Amazing Grace. We probably most well-known hymn. John Newton was actually a slave ship captain before he found the Lord. He found the Lord, actually became a priest, and towards the end of his life, he said these words, "Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and God is a great Savior." Amen? That's what we come here today to worship this great Savior, Jesus. Are we ready to do that? I mean, I want our frame of mind to be that we are great sinners and He is a great Savior. That is why He came to the earth, to save us from our sins. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Thank you that you save us. Father, thank you that we are new creations through Christ Jesus. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would you surprise us? We may have come here for all sorts of reasons this morning. Maybe even if we're honest, we may have even come out of habit. Father, surprise us. Surprise us with who you are, how deep your love is for us. Stir our hearts. Draw us unto yourself. In the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you arise, if you are able, as we worship.
Church, it's good to see you. I missed you last week when I was gone, so it's good to be back. I'm going to invite you to be seated, and we're going to continue our Advent readings.
Good morning. Morning. Around 700 BC, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." 700 years later, Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The fourth candle of Advent is the candle of love. Today we light this candle to remind us of God's great love demonstrated once and for all through Jesus Christ. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
No way in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The
everybody, be seated. Children, stay where you are. You'll come up here in just a moment.
Good morning, church. This time of year, I get the distinct privilege of being the one to present a love offering to the staff that you all so very generously contributed to. I wanted to thank you for the outpouring of love that you all show the staff every year. As I call the names, if you're present, could you please come up to the front and see my lovely proffer? Is Mother's Day Out Director Ms. Jamie Adams here? How about Youth Pastor Brent Aiken? Worship Leader Cody Bretherton? Adult Life Pastor Billy Krim? Children's Pastor Carlene Krim? Building and Grounds Kevin Crowder? Meal Coordinators Larry and Brenda Harner? Assistant Children's Pastor Linda Higginbotham? Assistant Youth Pastor Shauna Johnson? Assistant Finance and Children, Teresa Sove. Finance, Naomi Wood. I don't think we'll get him out of the booth, but we have Arliss Wright back in the back. Administrative Assistant, Terry Wright. And please, let's get Pastor Jeff Hatchard to come up front. This team of servants humbles me every time I step in here. The amount of care and attention that they pour out on us is evident. So if you'll join me for a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for these servant leaders that you've provided us. I thank you for the work of their hands. And Father, together we thank you for the gift of your Son. Please be with us in the days and the year ahead. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day outside. Oh, it's good to see you. Today, I want to talk about being ready. What does being ready look like when you're ready for something? Like when you're ready for school or you're ready to come to church, what does it look like? Yeah, you've gotten your clothes on, you've combed your hair and brushed your teeth, maybe had some breakfast. You've done all the things to prepare so that then you're ready to leave. And once you're ready, Christmas pretzels to be ready? Oh. There you go. So when you're ready, once you're ready, then you're like, waiting, right? Are you like waiting for mom and dad to finish being ready to walk out the door, maybe? If you're going to school, maybe you're waiting for the school bus. And you've got to be patient at that point. You've got to patiently wait and watch. This time of the year, we often hear the question, are you ready for Christmas? Yeah, you are ready for Christmas. What do people mean when they say, are you ready for Christmas? So, toys to be ready for Christmas?
And my boy named Snow Wolf.
Well, there you go. So, often what they mean is, do you have your Christmas, raise your hand, is your Christmas tree up? Getting ready for Christmas. The presents. Yeah, presents to hand out, or maybe you've mailed them out. There's all sorts of things that you do. There you go. So, you have the tree. There's all these preparation things that you do to be ready for Christmas. But I almost think the question needs to be changed to, are you ready for Jesus? Because that changes it a little bit, right? In the Bible, we read how John the Baptist prepared and got people ready for Jesus to come. He would tell them things like, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He was telling them, "The Son of God is coming. Be ready." So people, hundreds of people, came to John the Baptist. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in water, and he told them that one greater than him was going to come, and that he would baptize in the Spirit. So now we are here today, and we are still, Christmas is coming, and the question is, are we ready for Jesus? Have we prepared our hearts so that on Christmas, we are celebrating Jesus? Because if you think about it, Jesus entered this world born of a virgin. Miracle. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Miracle. And then he was laid in a manger. And what humble beginnings that is. Yes, and on that very day, the history of man changed completely. Heavenly armies of angels came out and sang praises, and the shepherds heard. And the Mother Mary cradled the presence of God in her arms on that day. These are the things we are preparing our heart for. We're stopping. We're asking God forgiveness for our sins and preparing for that gift of Jesus that was given to us that we celebrate on Christmas. So we must ask, are our hearts, are we ready to celebrate Jesus next week on Christmas Day?
Yes. Yes.
Let's bow our heads. Dear God, what a wonderful gift we received when you sent your Son to earth to live among us. Please help us focus our hearts on Jesus and prepare to celebrate him on Christmas Day. In your Son's most holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. On behalf of Carlene and I, thank you so much for your generosity. I'm sure Jeff will mention that as well. You're such an awesome church, and we appreciate you guys so much. I want to remind you to register your attendance with us through the app. That would be awesome if you could do that. Our Christmas Eve service is on Christmas Eve. What a coincidence, right? This Saturday at 5:30, we're planning on a packed house, but there will be plenty of room for everybody to find a seat, so bring your families and come on for that. Remind you that for the next two Sundays, we'll only have one worship service at 10:45 with no Sunday school. A couple of inserts in your bulletin. There's an insert about needing help at the welcome desk. Just contact Kim Farrell if you would like to be involved in that. Also, there's an insert for two community groups that are starting after the first of the year. We are full on Wednesday nights. We don't have a space where we can put any more people, basically. We have people in rooms designed for 16 to 18. We're running 22 to 24 in those rooms. And so we felt like we could start another ministry night on Sunday nights. So there's two community group options. And so just go ahead and pray through that. If you need more information, seek me out, and I can pass that on to you. And anyway, exciting times. I mean, it's good that we're out of space, right?
Amen.
Is that a good thing? Yeah. So let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. But God make provision for the future. That'll be a good thing. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. It'll be on the screen, I think. There we go. Thank you, Lee. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we pray, I just want to encourage you to get before the Lord with a heart, an attitude of thankfulness. Just thank him for life. Thank him for this season. Thank him for the sun coming to set us free. Thank him for his love. Thank him for opportunities for us to love on his behalf. Just spend some time thanking him, and I will close this. Thank you for you being a good God, a good Father. Just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, the peace that we can experience that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I'm thank you for the opportunity we have to be Jesus' ambassadors. That we can be the aroma of Christ as we move throughout our day. That we're clothed in that righteousness. As our pastor preaches on that this morning, I pray that that resonate deeply with us. I pray that it stirs us. Maybe in a way that it hasn't stirred us in a long time, or maybe something we've never really thought through. So we're just thankful for who you are and what you've done. And I pray blessings on families, Lord, this Christmas season. And Lord, as they gather, as we gather around the table, around the tree, and exchange gifts, I pray that on the forefront of our mind is the most precious gift that's ever been given. Father, you giving the Son for us. And Lord, if there's families where there's some tension, I pray for reconciliation to rule that household. And Lord, if there are people here in the sanctuary online that may be estranged from their family, I just thank you that we have a family here at Wiley Methodist Church. I thank you for physical families. I thank you for spiritual families. Lord, I pray that we're all encouraged at this Christmas season. Now, Father, as we step into 2023 and seek your desire, seek your will, Lord, we need wisdom. Father, there's a world out there that's absolutely broken and hurting. Lord, help us be aware of needs as we go throughout our day. Stir us, Lord. Use us for your glory. I pray that 2023 be a year like no other spiritually. for this fellowship, for the body of Christ and as a whole. Father, you're such a good God. We thank you so much for who you are and what you've done and what you will continue to do. Thank you for opportunities to be thankful. Thank you for opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you that after the service, we'll have several people up front that would love to pray for you if you have a need. Please don't leave this place and not take advantage of that if you need prayer this morning. Also, remind you of our offering opportunities. We have offering boxes by our exits. Also, you can give electronically through our website or our app, or you can text that information and give that way as well. God bless. Thank you.
Good morning again. Glad that you are with us. Glad that you are worshiping with us. If you are our guest this morning, I really am glad you're here. We're all glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and the love of His people. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe. It says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I'd love to meet you at this. You can bring that card with you. I'll be at this end of the foyer at the end of the service. We have a free gift for our guests. Your insert that's for our stars, our in honor or memory of someone, there's two additions I want to tell you about that didn't get on there by inadvertently did not get on there and will be on there next week. But there's also, you can add to your list, there was a star given in honor of Pete and Betty Martin from Fred and Pam Rawlings, and also in honor of Sharon Withrow by Brad and Cheryl Kendrick. So I want to make sure that those get recognition, and they will be on there next week for you. Also, it's still not too late to have your picture made. It's the gift that keeps on giving, what I'm saying. But I'll be at this down at the in the cryo room after the service, and we'll get you taken if you've got the courage to come and get your picture made for the bulletin or for the directory. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. See, if everybody got their picture made, I'd stop making that announcement. I'm just saying. So if you know somebody beside you hadn't got their picture made, you need to strong arm them. All right, Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed, so that the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So some of you have heard my mud swallow story and some of you have not. I'm going to tell it again, so brace yourself. How many of you know what a mud swallow is? Okay, half or so. Well, these little birds, and they got the name mud swallow because they build their nest with mud. And they generally will build up against a wall, generally up high, and they'll build their nest out of mud. And they're messy. Mud swallows are messy. Down below the nest is generally mud that has dropped down there and other things. And it's very messy. Well, a few years ago, Cheryl and I, our house here in town, our house, a mud swallow decided to build a nest right above our front door. And we were being gracious. It's like, oh, poor little mud swallows. You know, I don't want to tear down the nest, you know, even though it's right here in front of the front door. So we let the mud swallow build his nest, and everything was fine and dandy. Except that one day someone opened the front door to come in the house, and the mud swallow decided to come in the house. And we had a living room with a raised ceiling. It was like a 12-foot ceiling or so. And I've got a broom in each hand, and I'm trying to herd the mud swallow out. We opened the doors and the windows trying to herd the mud swallow out of the house. And that went on for a long time. Could not get that thing. Every time I would try to herd it this way, dark that way. And I could not get that mud swallow to leave the house, and so I finally gave up. And by the way, this ends good, so nobody panic when I say this next part. So I told Cheryl, I'm going to get my pellet gun. We're going to end this thing. And of course, she starts screaming, please don't kill the mud swallow. And I'm like, well, we've got to get him out of the house. I'm trying to get him out, and he won't go. So, I told the first service, if y'all hadn't figured this out by now, my wife is smarter than me. I never get an amen on anything, but I got an amen on that. So she said, why don't we open the front door and turn all the lights off in the house and turn the porch light on, which we did, and one little nudge for the mud swallow, and it flew to the light. Little did the mud swallow know, he just saved his life. The light, he flew to the light, saved his life. Death awaited him in the dark. This kind of reminds me of Isaiah foretelling, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. So, continuing and actually concluding my Advent sermon series today, Heaven Sent. We've talked about Mary's first Christmas, Joseph's first Christmas, Simeon's first Christmas, and today God's first Christmas. There was an event, and it's ironic that Teresa didn't know I was preaching on this, and I didn't know what her message was going to be, but she actually alluded to this earlier in the children's sermon. But an event a little over 2,000 years ago, altered time itself. We still date our calendar based on this event that happened 2,000 years ago, and that event was the birth of Christ. So we have this the significant event that Altar Time. We have B.C., before Christ, and we have A.D., Anno Domini, which is Latin. That's probably not pronouncing it right, but Year of Our Lord. Now, in this new culture that we find ourselves in, where God's being taken out of everything, and now, and even when my first year in seminary, when I realized they told me that you can't use B.C. and A.D. anymore. You have to use B.C.E. before Common Era, and C.E. Common Era when you're referring to dates on any of your papers. Well, guess what? I didn't. I just wasn't going to do it. Fail me if you will. But this significant event, Christ becoming flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, so we think about who God is. You think about God is holy, he's just, he's righteous, he's perfect. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of all things. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's omnipotent, which means he has unlimited power. He is omniscient, which means he has total knowledge. He has total truth. He is omnipresent, which means he's present in all places at all times. But one thing prior to this event that God had never been, flesh. God became flesh. He became his own creation to save us from our sins. So, let's talk about that a little bit. What did Christ accomplish? On God's first Christmas, Jesus was born under the law. Jesus was born in the flesh. He was completely man, and he was completely God. And if you really try to make sense of that completely, your brain will explode. But he was completely God, and yet he was completely man. It says in this passage today, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This law still had to be satisfied. Well, okay, the law. So it says that the law was given to us to basically show us that we can't do it. That we can't make ourselves righteous in our own works. So if you go all the way back to the garden, you got mankind, you got Adam and Eve there, and everything, they're in perfect harmony with one another and with God. And here's the rub. God gave us choice. And we chose poorly. That reminds me of the old, what's the movie? Indiana Jones movie, when he drank out of the wrong, never mind. He chose poorly. Okay, so they chose poorly. Sin came into the picture, and God had said, if you make this bad decision, if you go your own way instead of following me, sin is going to come into the picture, and sin results in death. And then, so we're living under this condition of sin in our lives, and the law was given so that we might be aware of our sinfulness, our brokenness. But so Jesus was born under those conditions. He was born under the law for a purpose, which leads me to the second point. He was born under the law to redeem those under the law. He was born under the law to redeem those under the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. He became the curse. In other words, he took upon himself sin and death that we owed. It was our debt to pay. He took it upon himself in order to redeem us. To redeem is to set free by paying a price. To set free by paying a price. So, I've done a little research on this. In the Roman time, during Jesus' time, the Roman Empire, slavery was very common. And it's Some theologians, some historians estimate that there were 60 million slaves in Rome, in the Roman Empire. 60 million. Now, here's the thing. And people that had the resources could purchase a slave. Again, it was very common practice. And there was two reasons why someone might purchase a slave. The first one is to continue their, to keep them enslaved. But the second was to set them free. They could, these slaves could be purchased in order to be set free. And that's what Christ did. He purchased us. He became a curse for us in order to set us free. He redeemed us from this curse of sin and death. Is that good news to anybody but me? Amen. That's good news. So, Jesus was born under the law to redeem those under the law so that, point three, so that we might become heirs of God. So that we might become heirs of God. Verse 5, to redeem those under the law, Jesus became flesh, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now, it's not a gender-specific thing like this is only for men. No, in fact, this very passage we read today, in Christ there's neither male nor female. This is for mankind, for people. He came under the law to redeem those under the law so that we might receive the rights of sons. Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We have been adopted in. Christ paid he redeemed us. He paid for our sin and death, and he has adopted us in. He has made us his very heirs. This passage I love in verse 27, chapter 3. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I'm a visual person. And if you can imagine each one of us, we are clothed in rags, these filthy rags. That's the condition of our, once we have sin, we're born into this condition of sin. It's like we're clothed in these shredded, filthy rags. In fact, the Old Testament tells us that that's the best of us, not the worst of us. That's the best of us. It says that our most righteous attempts, our best attempt at righteousness, are but filthy rags to the Lord. So the very best we can be, we're still clothed in filthy rags. Jesus, even though he came under the law, he came to redeem us, he was not clothed in the filthy rags of sin. He was clothed in this robe of righteousness. He was without sin. So when he went to the cross, this exchange took place. He took upon himself our rags, our filthy rags, our sinfulness. He took upon himself that, and he nailed those to a cross. He dealt with that, and he didn't stop there. Then he placed upon our shoulders this robe of righteousness. So you see that exchange. Can you visualize it? See that exchange happening? Now, so how many of you feel righteous? Well, here's the good news. It's not contingent upon you feeling it. It's the promise we have from God. It doesn't matter what we feel like. Feelings betray us all the time. So we may not feel righteous, but guess what? In Christ, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You are righteous. When God looks at you, he sees you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, but here's the rub. There's still that nasty flesh in us. Paul talked about this all throughout Romans 7, I believe. He really unpacks this. It's like, well, the more sin increases, the more grace increases. And we can't out-sin God's grace. But then he goes on and says, so what shall we do? Shall we sin more? I'm going to really sin because I want me a lot of grace. No, he says, you've died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? We are in this pursuit of righteousness. If we understand what Christ has done for us, if we understand what he's done for us, don't you want to please him? Don't you want to honor him with your life? I think about, my mom and dad, when I was growing up, the way I knew they loved me and stuff, I didn't want to do anything that messed that up. I wanted to honor my mom and dad. When Christ forgave me of the sin in my life, I want to honor him. I was talking to someone just this last week that has been hurt deeply by a pastor in the past. Wasn't even in Abilene. And what I told them was, I said, well, this pastor is still flesh and blood, and I have the capacity to disappoint you. But I want you to know, with all my heart, I want to honor God. With all my heart, I want to honor God. I recognize that there but by the grace of God go I. But, man, when we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that's how God sees us. Now we're to walk that out. We're to walk that out. So we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. In other words, you have received God's divine nature. This is getting kind of deep. Are you listening? Are you hearing me? Amen. You have been clothed in the divine nature of God. Woo! Anybody else humbled by that? What the law could never provide a person, God's divine nature. The law couldn't provide that. All the law could do was reveal our need for it. But Christ came and fulfilled the law. He redeemed us under the law so that we might become God's children, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Church, that's good news. That's good news. We have good news to share. Galatians 4 that we read earlier. When the time had fully come, God sent his son to redeem those under the law. I'm not God, and so I don't understand the timing, but it had been foretold that the Messiah was coming and what he would do, and at just the right time he came. It was just the right time. I don't really understand why, but it was at just the right time. And then Romans 5 says it this way. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So at just the right time, he came. At just the right time, he died for us, and he was resurrected, and he freed us. He redeemed us from sin and death. And guess what? He's promised he's coming back. And guess when he's coming? At just the right time. I don't know when that is, but I'm not a prophet. I told their servants, but I know this. Today we're closer than we were yesterday. At just the right time, he's coming back. He's coming back for his bride. And Revelation tells us he wants his bride beautiful. You and I, we're his bride. He wants his bride beautiful. He wants his bride righteous to bring glory to him. And right now, when we look at the church out there, we're not really doing that. Man, and so it starts with each one of us. We are the bride of Christ. Christ wants to come back for a beautiful bride. If you'll just bow your heads with me as the praise team comes back up. For just a second, as your heads are bowed, just ask the Lord to show you how you're doing. To show you if there's areas in your life where we need to up our game. Thank you, Father, that you came under the law and you redeemed those under the law. You redeemed us. You have adopted us into your family. You've grafted us into your covenant. You've clothed us with yourself. given us your divine nature. Would you help us live into that, walk into that? May the world see what you already see in us. Would we, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that we would become what we already are in your eyes. Heirs. Clothed in your righteousness. Redeemed from our sin. Father, we're grateful that you became flesh to accomplish it all. You became flesh because you love us. We love you. We love you back. We pray it in the powerful and holy, special name of Jesus. Invite you to stand if you're able as we close. There will be, as Billy said earlier, there will be people here to pray with you if you need prayer. Please don't be too prideful to take that up. If you need prayer, please come. That's what we're here for, and I will be out and would love to greet our guests. Thank you. Christ redeemed us, church, from the curse by becoming a curse for us. You have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's good news, church. Worth sharing. Worth going and telling someone. Let's do that. In Jesus' name, happy Christmas. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.